Monday evening to everybody, and happy Labor Day. This is the Redfish Chuck Show. In the background, you probably hear my two-year-old pitching a fit. I want to start real quick tonight with just real fast, you know, let everybody know my thoughts and prayers, and I'm sure the rest of the kayak fishing radio community's thoughts and prayers are with everybody in Texas. Those nasty wildfires they've got going on out there. The folks up in Georgia with the flooding issues, and still the folks up in the Northeast dealing with all the flooding issues. It looks like we're not, the storm season is not going to slow down for us anytime soon. So, yeah, keep those folks in your thoughts and prayers, and, you know, it's tough stuff to go through. Well, I've got a couple of big or not so big announcements that I want to try and get to pretty quick. I have an unofficial beer sponsor of the show, the Florida Beer Company. We'll get into that a little bit later. Those guys are awesome. And I know Chip is a Sweetwater guy because they're up in your neck of the woods. Well, Florida Beer Company are brewed right here in Brevard County, Florida. So they're my local brewery, so to speak. Yeah. Thank you, sir. You beat me to it. yeah. Got a pretty good lineup today. We're going to be talking to a couple of folks. I believe Luther from Yak Attack is going to be calling the show here shortly. We'll be discussing all the new goings-ons with him. And what's going on with the Yak Attack gear, all the new stuff. It seems like every day you go to their website, they've got something new going on. So pretty exciting. I got Chip with me, I think. Chip, you still there?
I am. I just put the thing on mute when I'm not talking.
And yeah, Chip is going through some of that weather now too. He's actually he was in the storm bunker. He had some tornadic activity around the house. So I hope you guys are doing all right.
Yeah, we're staying safe, man.
Good deal. Good deal. And on the phone, area code 304.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Kayla.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Awesome. Awesome. And I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Don't be mad at me. But I'm going back over
to
804. I'm pretty sure that's Luther. So let me just check. Did I got you?
Hey, man, what's going on?
What's going on, buddy?
How you doing?
Good, man, good. Appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Yeah, man. For those of you that are listening or either live or through the podcast that don't know the Yak Attack line of products, you need to familiarize yourself with them. They're some of the best that's out there on the market for us kayak fishermen. I don't think that there's anything that you can think of that they haven't already thought of and put out. So I'm not gonna beat it too bad. I'm going to allow you to do some talking and kind of give us an idea of what you got going, where you think you're going, or ideas you have coming down the pipe. If you can give us any inkling of any new and exciting stuff. I know you just came out with some new stuff, and we'll talk about that too. So, but yeah, go ahead and you know, give us kind of a brief rundown about what you guys are all about, how you got started.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, the whole Yak Attack thing, it was kind of an accident in a way. I mean, you know, me and a friend of mine were, you know, kayak fishing, had not been in the sport too long, but both of us had been in the design and manufacturing game, you know, for a pretty good while. And, you know, out there looking for a light and couldn't really find, you know, the thing that we were looking for. And that's where the original VisiPole came from. It started off as just a, you know, something that actually my buddy Bob, he made the first one. And, you know, we're going out fishing and little by little kind of refined it and, you know, started getting a lot of requests from people to make one for them. So we said, you know, why not see if we can put this, you know, design manufacturing background to to work and see if we can, you know, get a little extra, you know, a little extra money to fish with on the side or something like that. And once we kind of got started, started seeing some, you know, some, not only some voids in the marketplace, you know, in the sport, some things that the sport needed, but also some opportunity to maybe make a real business out of it. So that's really kind of how it started. I mean, you know, we got a lot of feedback from that first VisiPol and went back to the drawing board and, you know, came back with the VisiCarbon Pro. And, you know, ever since then, it's kind of been like that. I mean, we get a lot of feedback from people, and that's really how we, you know, how we come up with most of the stuff we're doing. We listen, kind of try to listen to what the sport's saying it needs. You know, the sport doesn't always have come to us with the solution, but at least with the thing that it's looking for, and, you know, we try to fill those voids.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed that it's been tough trying to find a manufacturer of anything these days that actually listens to the consumer more so than to what they think needs to happen or needs to be built or designed. And, you know, I feel that a lot of them are really missing the mark when it comes to that. You guys have seemed to pretty much take this thing and run with it. As far as I'm concerned, you guys lead the industry in this kind of thing. So that's got to feel real good, especially kind of getting into it when it was still fresh and still new. That is the whole kayak fishing thing. Right as it started to explode. I know one of my local dealers at the time, he's since closed, Coco Kayaks, was carrying your stuff there for a while. And I'm not sure how long after you started, he started carrying your stuff. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, that's a great idea. That was the first VisiPol that I saw. And then now you've coming out with all the new stuff, like the Mighty Mount and the Panfish and that kind of thing. So that's awesome, man. I talked to Linda Cabot today a little bit briefly on a message board, and she was saying that you guys are doing some kind of a program. I don't know if you want to give – if that's something you can talk about or whatever, where you're – it's almost like a contest, I think.
Yeah, we started that on Facebook. You know, like I said, I mean, listening – and you kind of hit it on the head. I mean, you know, it's easy – it's you know, I've worked in some bigger companies, so I understand the challenges that larger companies face. There's a lot of great ideas that never percolate to the top because they have to pass certain litmus tests along the way with conventional and you know, with the bean counters and so forth can see opportunity. And sometimes, especially with a you know, fresh and growing sport like kayak fishing, it's not always obvious what the winds are going to be. And sometimes it's hard to make that case, you know, by being really, really small and by being the same person who sweeps the floors and who, you know, makes product decisions, it gives us a little bit of agility that it's just really difficult for a larger company to have. It's, you know, there's always the good and the bad that come with everything. You know, the good that comes with being small is you can be really agile. The bad that comes with it is it takes us a little bit longer to, you know, to develop or tool up a product than it would a company that's got really, you know, really deep pockets. But yeah, one of the things is, as we're kind of listening to what people are saying and just kind of observing where the sport is, and you know, the do-it-yourself thing from day one has been, it's always been intriguing. I mean, really, it's how we got started. I think there's a lot of, you know, hobby type sports and young sports where there's a lot of do-it-yourself stuff because, you know, there's not a lot of products out there yet. But I think kayak fishing is a little bit unique in that some of the most, you know, the coolest, most innovative stuff that I've seen have been on a forum somewhere that somebody came up with in their garage. So I don't see do-it-yourself going anywhere anytime soon. And, you know, we made a conscious decision some time ago, several months ago, that we didn't want to be part of trying to make it go away. I think it's good for the sport. It's good for the individuals. You know, we got a rainy day, and of course, you know, plenty of people fish in the rain and then the off seasons. But at the same time, you know, that's something that, you know, a lot of people enjoy tinkering in the garage on those days. So, you know, if we're not going to try to contribute to, you know, pulling people away from it, you know, the better thing for us to do is to try to kind of empower the do-it-yourselfer. So we're working on a new line. The contest that Linda was referring to, we started that on Facebook, and it's kind of a little bit of a trial balloon. We want to see what kind of a response we get, and you know, how much interest there is. But you know, the ultimate goal for us is to give a few more tools and a few more toys to the do-it-yourself person, so that they can do a little bit more than what they can with what they can find, you know, off the shelf at Lowe's. You know, we can design things that are a little bit more tailored towards rigging and fishing and kayaking. So we've got a lot of ideas. We've got a few parts now that we want to start the project with. We're calling this line Sprout because it kind of, you know, it's kind of the sprout that the do-it-yourselfer would grow their project from. And we're just going to kind of like we've done, really like we've done with everything else. I mean, we're going to let the market lead us, you know, lead that product line to where it needs to be. We're starting with a few things. We've got 15 people in this contest. We had, you know, well over 100 that put their name in the hat. We randomly selected 15, and they're going to be competing for about a month. And we sent them some piece parts to play with. Basically, it's the kits are things that will enable them to connect, you know, PVC projects to, you know, our Mighty Mount system and some things to work within that. We'll just kind of see where that goes and decide where to take it from there. But we definitely, you know, like I said, I would much rather empower the do-it-yourselfer than to, than to spend a lot of time trying to discourage people from that. I think it's good for the sport.
Yeah. Anytime you sit around long enough, man, and you sit in these plastic boats that we love to fish in, you look around, you start to realize, well, you know, I can't really reach that tackle bag behind me too well. Maybe there's some way I can, you know, jerry something up to where I can, you know, get my hands on a little bit easier. Or, hey, I just caught a nice redfish. I need to jump out of my kayak and take a picture of it with me in the picture. Let me balance my camera on my Scotty rod holder while my kayak is, like, rocking back and forth in the waves. Maybe, hopefully, it won't fall off into the water, you know. So, no, there's definitely I think that's definitely a really cool thing that guys, especially in our sport, can do that, make their own do-it-yourself type things. And there's so many different tools that we use as kayak fishermen that I think that the regular fisherman boater wouldn't understand or just doesn't, you know, wouldn't think of, that some of this stuff could probably even cross over into the fishing, the boating side of things. Whether it be the panfish or the panfish portrait, or, you know, obviously the park and pole on a smaller vessel. I mean, something like that would work just fine on a small flats boat or small John boat or something like that. So, yeah, I think it's really cool, man. It's definitely filled a void that some of us have had, not being able to come up with our own ideas and kind of just go to Lowe's and figure it out and put it together and put it to use. So, yeah. Good for you, man. That's awesome. How long have you been kayak fishing?
2008.
Yeah.
Not that long. I think it's 2008. I got my first kayak was a 2007 Outback, and it was a demo. So, yeah, it was like early 2008.
That's cool,
man. I've been fishing pretty much, you know, my whole life. Grew up out in the woods, so to speak, you know. So we've been fishing in ponds and stuff since we were little kids. But the kayaking thing, I mean, it was, again, you know, it kind of didn't happen on purpose. A buddy of mine, we used to take a annual trip down to Hatteras for a little bit of fall fishing, and we like to surf fish for sharks. So he got a kayak just for taking out shark baits. And we went out and did that fall, sat around the kayak, just kind of sat around through the winter. And then in the spring, you know, he calls me up and he's like, hey, I found this club, you know, there's people fishing out of these things, you know, right over here in Tidewater. And it was TKAA that he had come across. And he started fishing with them, kept, you know, prodding me to get into it, and I'm a little bit slower to you know, just jump into every hobby that comes along, but yeah, it really did seem kind of interesting, and I got my first kayak, and we went out, and I got about halfway across the York River, and I called my wife, and I said, you know, when I get home, I'll get one for my son. So the next week, I got one for my son, and we've been, we really never looked back.
That's awesome, man. I've been dying to get my boy out. He's young yet. He's only a little over 2 years old, but he's all about the water, man. Loves to fish, loves to be around my boat, my big boat, my kayaks, while they're sitting in the garage. That's like his play place. He'll climb in them and sit in the seat and play with the paddle and, you know, try and break everything, which is awesome. But yeah, and I see that you guys are using, I don't mean to keep jumping back and forth, but I'm scanning through your website right now. I see that what you guys are using is the RAM mounting system balls and that kind of thing. How did you get hooked up with RAM? Was that a pretty easy relationship to build, or did it take a little while?
Well, I think RAM is, you know, they're a really cool company. I mean, I think they're pretty forward thinking in the relationships that they build with small manufacturers, which we, you know, certainly are in the scale of, you know, what they're doing compared to what we're doing. We're a drop in the bucket for RAM, but you know, I think they started kind of like we started, really, and not that long ago. So you know, they're really forward thinking as far as building those kind of relationships. So I think it was Chad Hoover who was out at, you know, maybe ICAST or OR a couple of years ago, and you know, kind of made the hookup, made the email intro, and started talking to Aaron out there, and we've, you know, developed a really good working relationship since then. And they make great stuff, you know. It's all made in the USA, which is right in line with our core philosophy. And they're just cool guys, you know. They're really cool to deal with, and you know, pretty innovative and stuff. So yeah, that was, you know, all of the, like, the camera mounts here, they all have RAM stuff on top, you know, the base for mounting it to the kayak. We have the RAM option, and then we have, you know, other options as well. But for articulating, you just can't beat the system.
Yeah, I've got some RAM mounting stuff on my slider. I don't know if you're familiar with the slider product, but it's actually pretty awesome. And I like the heaviness of some of the new RAM rod holders. The durability of them, they seem to be built like tanks, man. See, my problem is when I go offshore in my kayak and I'm always wanting to go trolling or pull a plug or pull a live bait or whatever, say for a kingfisher, for a tarpon, the current rod holders that I have, they're not bad, but I'm not too sure about putting a $400 combo into a plastic rod holder, you know, and that's not reinforced. And some of those rams seem to be, I mean, tougher than the ones I have on my larger boat, which is kind of crazy. And I like the way the system works, where it's all interchangeable, which I thought was really cool. And that would also give you some other options too. So if somebody were to buy the panfish portrait or the panfish, having the ball on top, you can connect other RAM products to the top of that as well, not just have it as strictly that. So that's pretty cool,
that's,
man.
That's exactly right. And with the pivoting head, I mean, especially like the portrait, you know, I'm waiting to get the first pictures back from somebody that, you know, they stuck a depth finder on it or something like that. You know, it's pretty new. We've only had it out for a few weeks, so we haven't seen that kind of stuff yet, but you know, it's inevitable. If there's a thing that can be done with something, a kayak angler somewhere is going to do it. And, you know, always thinking outside the box. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're pretty much gluttons for punishment, too. So we like to break stuff and lose things. So, you know, it's like, oh, let me see if this works. Nope, should have used a higher grade of PVC. My video camera ended up in the water or whatever. So, yeah. No, that's awesome, man. Anything else new and exciting going on with you guys? Or yeah, are you guys involved in any clubs you want to try and promote at all on here? Or?
Well, I mean, you know, we're because of the business more than anything. I've met a lot of people, you know, all over the country and, you know, even all over the world, you know. So we're we're always following what's going on in the different clubs and stuff. You know, as far as the other stuff that we've got going on, I mean, the next thing is the surface mount track system called, it's called Gear Track. And of everything we've ever built, we've had a more positive response to that than, you know, anything we've done. We previewed it out at OR last month, had a lot of interest from the kayak fishing community out there, as well as some other industries, surprisingly. And, you know, we've demoed it a couple of times, you know, at shows, but we're probably about 2.5 weeks from sending our first production parts out into the field. All we have now is, you know, prototypes, but we're probably about 2.5 weeks, we'll get some production units out in the field. We've tested the geometry and we've tested the alloys, so it's just really a matter of some quick durability testing on the actual production components to make sure there's no surprises, and then, you know, we'll have those things probably, you know, 5 weeks, maybe a little less than that, they'll be on the shelves at your retailer. So it's basically going to enable somebody with any kind of a kayak to, you know, to have a surface mount track. You know, they can put it not only on the kayak, but once you have a, you know, once you have a track in one hand and a handful of screws in the other, you can get a little bit creative with it, which again is bound to happen. So I'm sure we're going to see these in the truck beds and maybe on the four wheeler or who knows where. But you know, that's the next thing that's coming. And aside from the kayaking part of it, and this is, I guess, kind of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but and this isn't something we've really made terribly public, no time like the present, but you know, you start thinking about being able to configure a kayak, you know, based on, you mentioned offshore, you know, you might have a completely different setup on a boat to go offshore than you would if you were maybe a little bit closer in fly fishing. You know, you might not want quite as much gear around you. So I think being able to put tracks anywhere you want to, not only is it going to give, people think of tracks, you know, as positioning where you can move things around, but I think even maybe more importantly is the ability to rig down or the ability to configure your kayak for what you're doing, you know, that particular day. So what's inevitable is, you know, on the garage side, you're going to have the stuff that you're not using that day, or if you've completely rigged down to put it on top of your car or whatever, you're going to have these other things laying around. So we're actually also building a version of the tracks that are wall mount or ceiling mount.
Oh,
so
wow.
That you can get your gear out of the way and you can organize it a little bit. And we've got this really cool little system. So with a couple of these tracks, you can, you know, you can build a rod holder in your ceiling. You know, you can put your paddles, your PFDs, stakeout poles, you know, all that kind of stuff, kind of get it up and out of the way, or just organize it on the wall where it's easy to get to. You know, I've seen pictures on some of the forums from some of these guys and their tackle assortment, you know, rivals the place they bought it from. You know, it's all organized, and it's, you know, every color and every selection. So, you know, it gets difficult to, especially when you get the bigger things like paddles and you know, fishing rods and things like that, it gets more and more difficult to organize it. So, yeah, we want to be able to use the same thing that you're using on the kayak. If you could use the same thing in the garage or in the truck or, you know, in other places, you know, I think that's a, you know, it's a pretty good opportunity for us, and it's a great for the consumer. I mean, it's just a win all the way around.
Man, that is awesome. You heard it here, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, that's right. That's the first time we've talked publicly about that.
That didn't work out as well as I had hoped it would. No, that's awesome, man. God, that's such a cool idea. I know that I have that problem, man. I've got stuff strewn all over my garage. I mean, my garage looks like a bomb went off in it. And
yeah.
I mean, I got Loomis rods laying on the ground. I got fly rods hanging off a kayak still. I got just craziness going on, so that's something that I'd definitely be interested in. And that's cool. Do you use any of the Yak Attack gear?
Me?
I got D on the line as well.
Okay, D.
Oh, well, hi, everybody. No, but I really, really want to buy the push pole and the, what is it, stakeout push pole combo?
Yeah, the parking pole.
The parking pole. That, I couldn't remember the name. But, yeah, I would really love to have that. And, ironically, I'm endorsed by Native, and they have a paddle push pole kind of style thing. But I think that wouldn't be what I'm looking for. I'm looking more for the Ecotech gear. But I haven't gotten there yet. Buy it.
Cool.
I'll get there.
Yeah. That's awesome, Luther. Well, man, I'll tell you what. I really appreciate you coming on, man. And anytime you want to come on here and just talk about fishing, talk about the Yak Attack gear or whatever new things you got going on, charitable events you guys might be involved in. I saw you've got a section on your website for charitable events, and that turns me on,
yeah.
Man, as a consumer.
Excuse me. And that list is from last year, and interestingly enough, you know, we've at least doubled the amount of tournaments in probably tripled the amount of product this year from last year. The problem is when you're the webmaster and the product design guy and the sales guy and the, you know what I mean? At some point something has to go, and keeping up that list on the website is one of the things that unfortunately has kind of fallen off the edges. But I mean, just about every tournament, you know, that's going on, we're involved with, and I don't know that I've ever turned one down. I mean, we, you know, and that's anybody who's out there organizing something. I mean, you know, this is a tight-knit sport. You know, there's a lot of things going on out there that are supporting a lot of, you know, really good, worthwhile causes and stuff. It's kind of cool to be involved with a sport that people are putting, you know, we always get thanked as a sponsor, but, you know, I've ran some small tournaments, and I can only imagine what these people who are running these larger tournaments are going through, you know, and it's what us or any other sponsor doing is really dropping a bucket compared to what they're doing, you know, just organizing the thing and providing the conduit for us to get involved and for people to come out there and fish. So, yeah, that's really cool to be involved with stuff like that. And, you know, anybody out there, you know, you guys are putting something like that together, definitely drop us a line.
Well, see, and that's what it's all about, in my opinion, man. I mean, you give back to those that are taking care of you, and that's the way this whole fishing community should work. I've said it 1,000 times at my tackle shop that I work at that I just can't get over the fact there's not more charitable kayak fishing or just fishing events. And because, I mean, we probably spend more money doing what we do than any other hobby that there is, whether it's kayak fishing or boating fishing or any kind of other fishing. And most of the tournaments you run across, most of them, not all of them, there's a few that are all about charity. Most of them are out there to put the money back into the guy's hands who paid his entry fee. And I think that it's going to be the future of tournaments. And you know what, man? I'd almost rather fish a tournament where the prizes were product as opposed to cash, and let the cash go to something that needs it, you know, whether it be cancer research or something like that. So that's awesome, man. Kudos to you for that.
Yeah, and I think the participant – comes out a little bit better too. I mean, I think it's better all the way around, because not only is the cash going to the charity, which is important, but you know, it's easier for a manufacturer to, you know, put up $100 in product than it is for somebody to put up $100 in cash. So it's a good system. I mean, it really works well. And you know, the people who are organizing these things, they, like I said, they do such a good job of getting the word out and getting some exposure back to the manufacturer that, you know, it's just a cool, you know, it's a cool deal. We're kind of, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to, unfortunately, well, I guess the good side of things is since we've launched the new products, you know, I haven't hardly been able to keep my head above water keeping up, but on the other hand, it's kept me off the water. So really looking forward to the TKA deal that's coming up here in a couple of weeks, about three or four weeks here at the end of September. And Tidewater, that's always a good time. It's a big tournament, you know. Hopefully a lot of folks on here will make it out there. I know some of you guys are out a little bit too far, but they do a good thing there with the Healing Waters and Heroes on the Water. It's just a good time. you know, to go out there and fish the tournament's great, or, you know, there's always a good handful of people that just go over to Rudy and hang out with the vets and you know, help them out. No matter which way you do it, it's a great time.
Yeah, kudos to you, man. That's awesome. What's the weather like up there by you? Just not to change the subject, but just trying to see what you're doing, man. Are you planning on fishing at all this week or this weekend? Or
no, actually, it's supposed to be. We've got this, I guess, the leftover of that little tropical deal. I'm actually outside now. It's kind of storming, and it's supposed to be doing this for about 2 or 3 days. So, we'll be holed up for a couple of days.
Don't feel bad, man. Right now, me and Dee down here in Florida are dealing with 25-knot winds off the ocean, so we're kind of in the same boat.
I guess Katia's going to miss, though, right?
It's still going to kick the surf up real bad. I mean, they're talking the other day. Right now, it's, I think, 3 or 4 foot. By Thursday, it's supposed to jump up to, on the beach, up to 10 foot offshore, that 20 foot.
Wow.
So, yeah, it'll get nasty here in the next couple of days, but... You know, par for the course. It's that time of year. We got to expect it, you know. It's not ruining anything for us that I can see as far as fishing goes. And Dee doesn't, I mean, the water could be frozen over. Dee would still catch fish in it. And
I'll tell you, the one thing that I am missing is the beach snook are going through right now. So you can't fish that with that dirty water and those high waves. So
yeah.
That's kicking me, but I don't know. I was just walking the dog this morning going, when was the last time I actually surf fished? Oh, my God, I haven't done that this year yet, so I'm not missing very much. I'll grab them out of the kayak any day.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Dee, once that ocean calms down a little bit and cleans up, we should do that one day, hook up and just do a beach walk, go try and catch a bunch of snook. That'd be awesome.
Definitely.
Well, cool, man. That's awesome, Luther. I appreciate you, again, coming on and telling us all about the new stuff and dropping the bomb of the new track system that might be coming out here shortly. And cool, very cool. And, you know, go ahead and give out everybody your contact information so that in case anyone here is listening or is listening to the podcast later on, they want to order anything from you, your website and your phone number and that kind of thing, email address.
Sure thing, yeah. On the yakattack.us homepage, over to the left, you can find a list of dealers by state. You know, we always encourage our, you know, folks to go out there and check out their local retailer first. You know, those, especially the mom and pop shops, I mean, they're the ones that are helping to fuel the growth of the sport. So definitely, you know, give them a shot at it. And, you know, if you don't find somebody locally or whatever, we've got an online store there too, so you can always do that. And it's www.yakattack.us, and give me a call anytime, 804-370-3724. And I appreciate it. It's been a good time.
No, absolutely, man. Feel free if you want to hang out and listen to the remainder of the conversation. We're just going to talk fishing and talk paddling around and that kind of thing. So thanks a lot, man. I definitely appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
So Dee.
Yeah.
How about that wind this morning? Man, I woke up this morning and it was crazy. Go ahead.
It was crazy, but man, you kind of threw that on me. I kind of called in and I'm like, what the hell are we talking about yet? And you threw that on me and I went, and but yeah, that guy is great. You know, I'm on their website all the time and I'm drooling over their products, and I would love, if anything, to get the VisiPole, but I don't night fish, you know. And they do have a really great push pole, and I'll tell you, I've been looking at those for a long time. So if anybody looks at a push pole stake up pole combo, they have a great, great product right there. So, but yeah, the wind, holy crap. I don't know where the hell that came out of. You know, I had to take a couple days off, and I told you on Thursday that my son came into town and surprised me out of, he's like on the Virginia side of Washington, D.C., and I was very happy that I was able to see him and be able to not fish, which is really weird because, you know, how do you pick, fish or visit your son?
Yeah.
So very glad it was breezy, but yet, boy, I mean, just blowing like crazy. I mean, what, we have 20-mile-an-hour winds, gusting to 30 at some points in time, but... Yeah, it's been bad, and they have some rip current threats and whatnot over here on the East Coast. So anybody that's surf fishing or surfing themselves, you know, be very, very careful out there. Swim.
Yeah, they just lost somebody up in Daytona today.
Yeah, they did, and he was out there rescuing his son, ironically.
Yeah, that happens a lot. That happens
yeah.
a lot. It's sad. Well, I took the kids to Chuck E. Cheese today. That was awesome. I was going to go fishing this morning, and I woke up and I looked, and the wind was blowing, and I was like, yeah, looks like it's going to be a Chuck E. Cheese kind of day. So that's what I did.
Well, did some people meet up with you there? They were all high-fiving you on Facebook.
Oh, my redfish there?
Yeah, no, to the Chuck E. Cheese comment.
Oh.
Did
no,
I miss the redfish?
No, nobody showed
up. I'm so jealous.
Nobody showed up at Chuck E. Cheese. It's hard to get people to come hang out.
Oh, Kayla's
there. Like, who doesn't want to, it's like, who doesn't want to go hang out at Chuck E. Cheese, right? It's like the greatest place in the world. But anyway.
Wow. If I had my kids as kids nowadays, I would go visit you.
Awesome.
They're too old for that.
That's awesome.
As a matter of fact, it's really funny you said that because my son called me today to confirm meeting him tomorrow. We're going to go over to Grills over there in Port Canaveral. We're going to have lunch. You're welcome to stop by, of course. And he was telling me, you know, because he did a Disney trip today. He was over at the Teacups, his favorite ride.
Aww.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, you never lose being a kid.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, that feeling comes back every time I go to, like, even just SeaWorld, you know. You go back to SeaWorld and I see those lions barking at you, yelling at you. It reminds me when I was a little kid and I saw it. And it brings back all those memories. It's cool, man. That's what it's what life's all about, being a kid.
Right.
You never truly grow up, or at least I'm never going to truly grow up. I know that much.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, so it looks like we're done for at least the next couple of days as far as fishing anyway with this wind we're going to have. So
we are, but I have some potential news I'd like to share.
Sure.
I've been doing a little bit of homework and, you know, trying to get my name out there, and I believe some of my photos might be on the Florida Insider Fishing Report for Thursday, where the theme is kayak fishing.
Awesome. Awesome.
And, yeah. I wish... we would have a little bit more of an oomph inside in getting our names out as kayak fishermen, because that is so much geared more towards the boating end of things. So we got to find a way to push a little bit harder to get them to talk more about a kayak report and maybe get one out there every week. So,
well, I talked
it's
to
a goal.
Yeah. I talked to Jim Ross, actually, via text message and Facebook message, and I'm kind of in the same boat as you when it comes to that. So apparently they're probably going to try and hammer that kayak fishing point home this week, because he was asking me for the same. So we'll see.
Okay.
You know what? And I agree. I think that they did a kayak fishing show, what, last season. And it was decent. It was a pretty decent show. I just feel that...
Yeah, but my problem is it's now only the one show. I think they need to have a little bit more of those going out there, you know, not once a year, you know.
Right. No. I, you know what? I mean, to be quite honest with you, I feel like the kayak fishing community in the state of Florida and abroad is so large that it could support its own show. It could support its own fishing report show. I mean, where can you go and not see another kayaker on the water? I was driving down to Chuck E. Cheese today. I passed by probably at least 20 cars on 95 that all had kayaks on them. So, you know, it's absolutely huge. Yeah, we'll see.
Well, and there's a whole nother level to it, because kayaks can go so many places that big boats can't go.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more, like, they could take you so many other places, and other people would want to see that too. So there absolutely should be a show about that. I was just thinking about that today, watching all these big bass shows on TV, and they've all got their big bass boats, but I would love to see them come down to my neck of the woods and try to take their big boats out to where I catch my fish.
There you go. So yeah, I think that it's, the sport's definitely grown big enough, D, where in the last 2 years, 3 years even, to where I think that we may one day see that. Hopefully. All we can do is knock on wood and pray for it, huh? So
yep.
Yeah, really? I mean, what else can we do? We can beg. I'm not very good at doing that, you know. I give up pretty easy, but anyway, so snook season just opened up on our coast over here. And for those of you, Daryl included, that are listening that like to catch the line siders, let's talk a little bit about catching snook. I know that some of you folks that are listening live and listening to the podcast might not live in the areas where these things live, but if you should just so happen to make it down here and get an opportunity to fish for snook, I assure you, it is definitely one of those species that you should, if you don't have it on your bucket list, you should have it on your bucket list. And it should be pretty close to the top. There was just a video that was posted on Facebook the other day. I don't know if you got a chance to see it, Dee, or if anybody posted it on your wall, of a close to a 45 to 50 pound snook that was trying to eat like a 5 pound largemouth.
No, I missed that. Damn, pass it along.
Yeah, I will find it. I'll find it once we get off the show, and I will send it to you. But it's definitely pretty cool. You'll see this bass, and he's just kind of like, you can see he's hurt. He's messed up pretty bad. He already got popped one time, and then the guy started rolling, and the snook turns around and comes back at him and tries to inhale him again and missed him again. But it's pretty interesting to see a giant snook trying to eat a giant largemouth bass. But so, no need in trying to delay anything. D, you are my local expert snook fisherwoman. Why don't you tell me your favorite tactics and techniques to try and target snook?
Oh my God! You know what? I guess I've caught snook in so many different ways, it's kind of hard to sum it all up. So I've caught snook first thing in the morning. I've caught snook never under dock light, so I can't tell anybody about how that works. But most of my snook catchings have been live shrimp, just casting and doing a lot of aggressive twitching or live pinfish on popping corks, as well as using miradines. And they all seem to end up being in the same pattern where you get the snook really ticked off at you, and they just like all upset that this thing is in front of their face, so they just want to get away from it, and then they snatch it and then hook up on it. And I just never ever really got one on a top water plug unless it's a smaller, like 20-inch snook. But the bigger monster ones, you know, the ones that are in the 30-inch range, are always the ones that are just mad at you, basically, for what you're doing at them. So, all caught on pretty much 10 to 15 pound test braid with always 30 pound fluorocarbon and whatever item you have attached at the end.
There you go.
You know, I just don't want that sandpaper mouth to rip your leader apart, so you always want to be prepared.
And I I absolutely fell in love with that area we fished down there. Just with snook in mind alone, not even including the giant trout and redfish that were around. But man, that deep water around those mangroves, that's my favorite way to catch them. The easiest way that I have found for me to catch them is the way that I did it the other afternoon. Was standing on a dock in a marina in Port Canaveral with a long A bomber, doing figure eight movements underneath the dock and watching one come out and blast the plug and slinging them up on the dock. Is it sporty? Nope. Am I trying to be sporty? Nope. I was trying to put one within the slot on the dock so I can take home a fresh snook dinner, and it did not happen. The fish I caught were over slot size, and they were quickly put back in the water.
You know, it's really hard to break it down. I mean, you were just saying, you could toss this or you could toss that, and you could be in this place or you can be in that place, and they all have different environments that they're in. You were fishing when you were with me under mangroves. I'm fishing under mangroves or in, like, channels. And then you could fish under piers. And then you could fish, like, in the Sebastian Inlet itself. So, I mean, there could be one hole or two conversations, you know, radio shows just on how to catch these snook in our area, because they all have different personalities. Oh, I didn't mention the beach snook. So, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Clone and I were over in Tampa. We fished with a guide over there. He had us on a rocky point that we were hooking up. They're crazy. They like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, they do. They sure do. And I'll tell you, that's the thing is, I think that's one of the reasons why I like them as much as I do, is because there's close to a striped bass as I think that we'll see here in Florida. I don't have an opportunity to fish them quite as much as I'd like to, but they definitely have a lot of features, much like a big striped bass. They love to ambush their prey, just like a normal snook would. Striped bass love to lay around rocks, just like snook do. They love tide movement. They tend to feed better on a tide movement, that kind of thing. So, you know, I don't know. Out of the port, it's kind of tough in the kayak to go out and target them any other way than with live bait, unless you go out at night and you can throw bombers and wind cheaters and Yuzuri crystal minnows and things like that get their attention. And, you know, like Dee says, the more you aggravate one, I think the better chance you have of having him actually smack your plug. After a while, they just get tired of seeing it and they just want to kill it, much like a big bass on a bed somewhere. You know, you just drop a worm in the middle of their bed and wiggle it around for a while, and finally that big female will get tired of looking at it and just grab it. She might not even want to try and kill it, but just to get it out of her little way there, you know. So we catch a lot of them out in the port on live bait. We don't use pinfish as much as we use croakers. If you can find croakers, good God. If you don't catch snook on croakers, you're just not where the snook are. Because I've had days where we've thrown mullet up around the jetties. We've thrown pinfish up around the jetties. We've thrown pigfish up around the jetties and big greenies and all kinds of stuff. And the first guy to throw a croaker usually hooks up right away. I don't know if it's because they croak underwater. A pigfish does the same thing. Or if it's just that they feed on them that heavy up, out there at the port. But as soon as it sinks out of sight, and I usually just freeline my croakers, and as soon as it sinks out of sight, they tend to jump all over it. So definitely a fun fish to catch. I don't get them as often up here in the intercoastal as you do, D, down there, for obvious reasons. The lack of tide movement, the lack of salinity up here makes it a little tough for them. Are they up here? Yeah, there's a few. You know, sometimes every now and again somebody will run across one or two, but it's almost impossible to target them this far north in the river. I've caught them in the lagoon before, out in the middle of a flat, working a jerkbait like I would for a redfish. So there really is no rhyme or reason to why they are, where they are, when they're there. So, but Rob, is Rob still there?
Yeah, I'm here, dude.
Have you been snook fishing lately, or Give me a good snook fishing story or trick or tactic that you like to use.
Well, I do see them around the dock lights once in a while. Not a whole lot lately. I've only seen them on dock lights once this year. And my biggest issue with snook is if they're not in the mood to eat, they're not gonna. That's the hardest thing, because you can see them, and you know, they'll be sitting there, and they won't. I've thrown at fish all night long, everything in my tackle box, and they're just like, yeah, no thanks. That's probably the biggest problem that I have with snook fishing. The other thing is earlier this year I had one eat a DOA shrimp, and it was probably in the 40-inch range, and it actually bent the hook out on me. So that was like my snook experience so far this year. But I think they're a little bit thicker south of me.
Yeah, I want to get down there around, was it Naples?
Yeah, Matt Lachey, that's a great, great snook area down there. Sarasota's pretty good.
I've seen pictures of them schooled up right off the beach down there. Like, literally right off the beach down there.
By the way, the snook record is, that's a great way to catch them. The snook record is 53 pounds, 10 ounces. That's not just Florida either. I believe it's world, all tackle. And that was in, like, I want to say 1978 was when that was caught. Now, okay, that's a lot of props. Not only is that a monstrosity of a snook, but that's really an amazing feat landing that thing. Okay, because you got to remember how smart these are. When you do hook up with one, they know where every little piece of structure is within a mile of where you hooked them, and they're going to do their best to try to wrap you around that. You know, okay. So that's a pretty in 1978. You know, you didn't have braided line and all that stuff. So that's a pretty amazing feat to be able to land something like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I see the guys over in Costa Rica that catch the big ones off the beach over there. I don't know if that's a different breed or what have you, but...
No, they're still the same.
All right,
same
cool.
Thing.
Well, I haven't caught all the snook. I haven't caught a sword spine. I haven't caught a sword spine snook before, but I've caught fat snook. I've caught common snook. I think that's it. I think there's only three, right? Sword, spine, common, and
there's a tarpon snook, too.
Oh, tarpon snook. Yeah. I don't think I'd even know the difference if I caught one that was a tarpon snook. I don't know. So I guess I've only...
They're generally smaller, and their mouth is a little bit... the lower slung jaw is a little bit more prominent.
There you go. So how do you like to eat snook, D?
Oh, my God. Drop it in peanut oil, man. yeah. And you know what? I'm not, unlike a lot of people, I've caught my fair share of snook, and a lot of people say, oh, it's the best fish in the world. And I really like it. I do. But I don't care for keeping more than one a year if I can even get one, like, in slot. So, yeah, peanut oil is the best way to go. Panko breading if you want. But, yeah, it's always going to be fried like that. And you have to eat it the next day. I won't freeze it. You know, 28, ours is what, 28 to 32 inches?
Yeah.
That's
yep, four
a
inch.
Lot of fish.
Yeah,
so you have to have a fish fry if you're going to keep one. So, or share it with someone else that you know loves fish. I don't like keeping the snook and in the freezer for more than a week, you know.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I've got a...
So if you catch one, Chuck, you're going to have to share with me, right? And I'll do vice versa.
Absolutely. I will be more than happy to give you a whole side slab. Actually, I got a recipe for barbecue snook. So here we go.
Yeah.
Recipe for barbecue snook. Get your pens and papers out, children. We're about to go through this nice and easy like. Obviously, the first ingredient, snook. You need one of them. And you're going to need to grab yourself 3 bay leaves. Okay? Not 2, not 4, but 3. 3 bay leaves. One sliced clove of garlic. If you want to kind of be easy. Wow. Awesome. If you want to be easy
did
on the...
That?
No, Chip did that. If you want to be easy on the garlic, I like garlic, so I'll use 2 cloves of garlic. 4 slices of lemon, the juice from a single lemon, about a half a cup of olive oil, extra virgin if you feel so inclined, I do, salt and pepper, thank you very much, salt and pepper to taste, and on each side of the fish, cut slits in its skin, score it a little bit, stick a bay leaf down in there, a half a lemon slice down in there, some garlic down in there. Salt the top of the fish, drizzle some of that juice and olive oil over it. Throw them on the barbecue grill. Make sure that it's a low to warm heat so you don't overcook it. And let that puppy ride for about 3 or 4 minutes on each side, and you should be just fine. Pull it off the grill, and I like to put it on a hoagie roll and sprinkle some cheese on it because I like cheese on my fish. Don't ask me why. And it's delicious. Pretty easy. You only got 5 or 6 ingredients.
Can't touch this.
Wow.
I think you need to type that up and throw that up on some website.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that because, anyway. Thanks, Chip. So, but yeah, that's one of my favorite.
That sounded great. Anything with garlic and olive oil, I'm there.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ways to do them is to throw them on the grill and just let it ride that way. I love to fry them. I love to fry all my fish. That's why I'm getting really excited about this. The cooler months are a-cometh. They're not too far off. And once they get here, I will be filling my refrigerator on a daily basis with some Spanish mackerel because it's one of my favorite fish to fry. And, yeah. Well, that's for a different show, though. So, but... Chip.
I like grits.
I like grits. I like grits and fish. I like shrimp and grits.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of shrimp and grits, this is coming from my unofficial food sponsor of the Redfish Chuck Show, Smokehouse Foods, located in Port Canaveral. Check them out. They're awesome. Wes out there at Smokehouse Foods the other day, I was joking around with him, and I said, yeah, I made you my unofficial food sponsor for the show because I'm in there like probably 4 times a week, and it's how I keep my manly figure. And he comes out with a bowl of shrimp and grits, and he says, this is my contribution to the Redfish Chuck Show. And I said, oh, you're a good American. whatever. So it's just one of those nights. I don't know what's going on right now.
I've been inside all day long because of the stupid rain. So
no problem. I like it. You're keeping it live, keeping it fresh. I appreciate it. What's Rob saying in there? I use DOAs all the time for snook. What DOAs do you use? What's that, Rob? I didn't catch that, Rob. What'd you have to say there? Yeah, I don't know. That's Rob's intro music. But anyway, wow, it's getting out of control on the Chuck Show. Something I forgot to do at the top of the hour. I wanted to thank a good buddy of mine and congratulate Brad Spaulding. He might be listening live. He listened in last week on his retirement from the United States Air Force. Appreciate everything that he has done, sacrificed for our country and his family to get him to the point to where he is now. And he's actually taking his captain's license course for stage two of his career in the working field, I should say, I guess. So good job, Brad. But that's got to be a cool moment. You know, Chip, you were in the military, so like the last day that you wore your uniform, it had to have been pretty pretty special to you.
Yeah, it was cool. We drank a lot of beer that day, I think.
Yeah, it's awesome. Completely off subject now. I don't know how I'm going to come back from this. Dee, help me. Are you going to be...
I can't. I got to go. Dinner's ready.
Enjoy your dinner, Dee.
Bye, everybody.
Wow.
Night, Dee.
Well, I usually take it past the hour mark, but with the shenanigans that have taken place on the show tonight, I think that I'm going to probably cut it short tonight. I just don't really have much to say. What do you, right? I mean, I got wind here. We're probably not going to be able to fish for at least a week. Oh, hey. But in 2 days, I'm going to the Big Rock Sporting Goods Show. And I'm going to walk around and talk with all of the vendors, the fine people from Shimano and Daiwa and Akuma and DOA and Bass Assassin and everybody else, and see if see what's new and exciting, see what I can get to talk about for the next week's show, and see if I can get a couple more guests on.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. I'm gonna spend all day out there, and the cool thing too is it's not just fishing, it's also hunting this year. So they're bringing down all their hunting companies as well that they represent. So that's neat. I think I might actually talk about hunting from your kayak one evening, even though it's kayak fishing radio. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of guys that are doing it. And it's just something else that you can do with your plastic boat if you should so feel inclined to paddle into gator-infested waters and shoot ducks out of the sky or paddle to your favorite turkey spot, if there is such a thing. So yeah, interesting. Daryl, are you going?
Randy Viney was going gator hunting with a buddy of his who's taking his kayak.
Going gator hunting from the kayak.
I think they were probably going to do it from the regular boat, but he was taking his kayak along just in case. So.
All right. But,
we can hunt them up here. You guys can hunt them down there too, right?
Gator season right now, buddy. So there's been some big ones killed this year. Nothing that's really made the news. I got a bunch of friends that have killed some 10-footers, some 9-footers. 10.5, I know, is the biggest that any of my buddies have killed. Last year, my buddy Forrest Palmer, that I went to high school with down in Melbourne, killed over a 13-footer. Just a monster. And
I think the big one last year that was checked in here in Georgia was over 13-foot. So that was a big one for the whole state.
They don't even look real when they're that big. You know,
no.
They got them hanging up from a crane or something like that. They just don't even look real, you know. And you're standing next to it and you're looking at it like, I could fit inside your belly.
Yeah.
Not a good feeling. But cool. Chip, so you're not going to be able to probably fish for a while since you got the remnants of this thing blowing through.
We got 31 days to the boondoggle, man.
31 days to the boondoggle. Talk about the boondoggle, man. I don't know much about it because I'm not going.
You should go, man. Yeah. We're going to meet in Charleston, South Carolina. Scuba Stan and LGB and the boys up there, some other folks in the Savannah area and coming down. I made sure I asked Luther if he was available for that weekend. I think Chad Hoover is thinking about joining us. I think Wheeler's going to show up, Rob Choi, Lozier, maybe Madre, some of those guys. But we're probably going to be fishing mostly around the Copahee Sound area that's just north of Charleston there. It's October 7th through the 10th. And the KOA campground in Mount Pleasant is where we're going to be staying at. It's a good opportunity for folks who or listening to the podcast, if you're thinking about kayak fishing, if you're interested, come out. You got all kinds of folks you can ask questions to. You can see rigged kayaks and stuff. That's what we did when we were there in Jacksonville. So we're going to try to get a couple of local shop owners to provide some kayaks for demoing and stuff. So, and we're working on maybe trying to get some special kayaks to show up. So we'll see what we can do about that. Don't want to go giving away too much, but maybe try to have a surprise or two there.
Yeah, I heard rambling.
No, don't say it.
I'm
don't
not
say
saying
it.
Anything. I'm not a happy camper because I'm not going to be able to make it to this trip. That's all I'm saying. So if you are listening to this podcast or to any of the other shows and their podcasts, and you hear about the boondoggle, and if you go, I don't want to see pictures. I don't want to hear reports. I don't care. Don't tell me. Oh, man. So, yeah, Rob thought it was funny to text message me and talk to me about some of the fun activities that are going to be going on up there. And I'm not.
We're trying. We haven't got any confirmation yet. So
matters not. You're trying. That's what matters. So, oh, man. On the flip side of things, I got a message today from a listener, Russ. And Russ, I need to talk to you sometime, buddy, so I can have you pronounce your last name because I'm horrible with it. And my last name is Levi. Common spelling, L-E-V-I, right? Growing up, I got Levy. I got all kinds of weird pronunciations of my last name, so I'm not going to try and butcher yours. But anyway, Russ took the time to send me a message on Facebook letting me know that he listens to the podcast, and it's helped him out a little bit, it seems. He's been reading a couple of bass books and stuff, and he's gone out and done real well. Caught a big 5-pound bass a couple of days ago, and then a few weeks later, or a couple of days later, caught another 5-pounder. And up until that point, he'd only caught one 5-pound bass in 40 years of fishing. So that's cool. And he's now addicted to kayak fishing. Apparently, he lived in Oklahoma. And now get this. He lived in Oklahoma, and he's probably moving to Venice, Louisiana. So, buddy, if you're listening to the show, if you're listening to the podcast, and you're moving to Venice, Louisiana, make sure you have room and board for me and Chip and Rob and the rest of the crew.
Boondoggle
in Venice, Louisiana, because, man.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, that's all you got to say. So, awesome. Well, Russ, I appreciate you listening to the show, and get with me, man. Again, if you ever make it down to Florida for sending me that message and the kind words, I'll take you fishing anytime you can make it down here, man, for nothing. So just get a hold of me. But awesome. Yeah, that was cool, man. That makes you feel good when you know that someone's actually listening to what you're saying, regardless of how ridiculous it might sound at times. Yeah, there you go. So you got anything else interesting you want to talk about, Chip, or are you pretty much ready to go hit the hay from being on storm alert all day?
No, I'm done, man.
Yeah, I'm done too. I'm going to go. Guys, I appreciate it, as always, everybody tuning in, listening to the show, whether it's live or if you listen to the podcast. Jesus, the podcast later. Do listen to the Bad Badcast. He is he's the man. Our Rob, who left us earlier, I don't know what was going on with his phone. He's out of minutes or something's going on, but take a listen to all of the shows. Man, and we just got a new show. For those of you that that don't know, we just Chip just gave Spiker, for any of you listen to the Thursday night show, Spiker has got himself
Dennis
a new
Spike.
Show. Dennis Spike has got a new show Friday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Yep.
Yep. Friday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern, and then we've got obviously the Thursday night show. With the godfather himself, Chip Gibson. I'm going backwards here. Let me start off at the top. Rob shows
every
tomorrow.
Night of the week and twice on Tuesdays.
That's the easiest way to do it, right? Every night of the week, twice on Tuesdays, we've got kayak fishing radio shows. No matter where you live, it seems now we have officially, with the exception of like the Midwest, we have officially given you a show to listen to. Rob,
two on the West Coast, two in Florida, and one in New England, right? Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, and then yours out of Georgia. So
yeah, I'm taking up the center of the country, right?
There you go. So yeah,
the South Center.
There you go. You got Rob's show tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Then after that, you've got the Isaac Nothing Miller show. It was at 10 o'clock Eastern. The following night, which would be your Wednesday night show, you have the Landing Crew, Mark Wheeler from Virginia Beach. And again, Thursday night is Chip Gibson. And again, finishing out the week is Dennis Spike. So, guys, again, I appreciate you listening. Thank you very much. Take a kid fishing. Be safe out there. Don't try and do anything crazy with this weather we've got coming through. There's other days and prettier days to fish. There you go. Check out yakangler.com for all things kayak fishing related. The authority in kayak fishing knowledge, yakangler.com. Thank you very much for Luther from Yak Attack for coming on and giving us the inside Iggy on all of his new things that are coming out and talking a little bit about all of his awesome products. Guys, check them out. Definitely a company worth supporting. It's www.yakattack.us. And yeah, that's pro. Check out my website. It's chuckskayakadventures.com. And if you want to book a trip to fish the river, Indian River, Mosquito Lagoon area, Banana River, give me a shout. D. Kaminsky down in Sebastian area. Real Kayak Fishing, real as in a fishing reel, kayakfishing.com is her website. So give her a holler for all things kayak fishing. Appreciate it, guys, and be safe out there. Have a good night. Trey and Logan, I love you guys. Sleep tight. See ya.
Peace.
Once I find my music. See ya.